You are indeed with Cape Talk. It is 7 minutes after 11. If you have just joined us, you're listening to Abungile Ganzelenzele standing in for Lester Kivett. It is the last hour of the morning review. I do hope that you will be joining us in conversation in this hour. Now, alcohol is a problem in South Africa, and as I've said, it's time we acknowledge that. It should come as no surprise that a country like ours, where alcohol abuse and its horrific consequences are a common occurrence, that South Africa has the highest reported prevalence rates of fetal alcohol syndrome in the world. Our country's overall rate being at least 6% compared to the global average of 1.5%. In some communities in South Africa, rates are as high as 28%. And sadly, this incurable condition is completely preventable. Now imagine a community where all children are born healthy without the burden of disabilities that come with FAS. One community in South Africa has achieved this, or just this, thanks to the efforts of Mamas Alliance and the Hantam Community Education Thrust, that is HCET, where no babies within an area east of Colesberg in the Great Karoo have been born with FAS since 2013. And joining you to tell you about this is Leslie Osler, who is from the Hantam Community Education Trust. Leslie, good morning to you. Thank you so very much for joining us on the show.
Good morning, Abungile. How are you?
Absolutely fantastic. Thank you so very much.
Good.
Leslie, tell us about Mamas, first of all, and the work that you do.
Okay, so Mamas approached us approximately 4 years ago and asked us to join them in as part of their family, as it were, really. And they have been amazing because they've not only funded us, obviously, but they are far more than that. They actually support their projects in a way which is quite unusual and unique. They have a CSI arm where they can actually give us the names of donors that might well fund certain programs that we do, and then we are able to approach those donors through Mamas. They've also allowed us to be part of this family so that we can share a lot of what one or the other does, so that we don't work in silos. And they've obviously made a huge contribution toward the funding of our programs, especially our health programs with fetal alcohol syndrome education and stunting and HIV/AIDS. Yes.
All right. And as we continue with this conversation, a very, very serious conversation, for lack of a better word, in our communities. Let's talk about this condition that is fetal alcohol syndrome.
Okay, so very often one also talks about what we call alcohol-related damage, if mothers drink during a pregnancy. And we can often see that in terms of, we'd be able to see that in the history because we work very closely with the community. So we're able to know within the community who are drinking and who are not. And so it's twofold, it's two-pronged, really, the project or this particular program. The one is that we have to educate women and husbands and men on the dangers of alcohol when the baby is in the womb. And no mother actually wants to damage their child. I mean, there's always this, it's not a case of being irresponsible, it's a case of being ignorant very often. So what we did is we did a huge drive in actually educating the community on how alcohol damages a child's brain or can damage a child's brain. And we did this quite visually with some rather graphic photographs and illustrations, because many of the people are illiterate, so that they could really bring home to them what they are doing. And we link this very closely with nutrition, obviously, because that can also cause the damage. It's not just the alcohol. If there's a lack of nutrition with a pregnant woman, violence in the home, there are all sorts of factors. And then we had a whole number of children who were coming through the system in our school, because we sort of do a from the womb to the workplace sort of project. And we realized that there were these children who were absolutely struggling. I mean, they could not cope in the formal education system. So for 4 years, we battled with the Department of Education. We just had our special needs classes, and we just continued them, and eventually it was accepted by the department that this was legal, as it were. And what we found is that if you take those children and you educate them in a very practical manner, and then we have programs when they leave school where they are able to learn certain skills, depending on the spectrum of where they're at. And I would say really the majority of them have been employed. So it's a case of breaking of actually recognizing two areas here. The one is very clearly the damage that alcohol does with pregnancy. There has to be a huge drive in education there, but it's more than that, because we also have a very large number of youth and adults who are already damaged. So what do we do with those? You can't just throw them away. You can't just pretend that problem doesn't exist. So that's really where it's been quite successful. And we found that they absolutely, that mothers really don't drink. And the fathers are also so mindful. We do a census every year to see whether we've actually impacting on just alcohol abuse generally. You know, how many households drink and drink irresponsibly, etc. And it's been extraordinary, the drop. I mean, you know, so when you create an enabling environment, when you educate people, when you hold their hand, it comes right. You know, it really does. Mm.
You're listening at home, 14 minutes after 11. You're listening to the voice of Leslie Osler, one of the founding members of the Hantam Community Education Trust and a director for over 30 years, who joins you in conversation around fetal alcohol syndrome, an incurable condition that is completely preventable, talking to us about some of the strides that they've taken to ensure that in their community, they go out to educate individuals around fetal alcohol syndrome. And Leslie, just to you once again, I like the part where you said that you are having conversations not just with mothers, because you know, you think fetal alcohol syndrome and you're automatically thinking of the gender, but it's a conversation for both genders.
Oh, it absolutely is. Absolutely, because if the father is going to be drinking, even if the mother knows she shouldn't, and she's in that home, it's over a weekend, and, you know, the temptation is there. So the father actually has to take the hand of the mother and walk the walk with her. And that goes far beyond just the pregnancy, because we then make sure that there aren't these big divides in families where the father takes absolutely no responsibility and the mother has to do it all, so that there are good role models. We're trying to develop good role models amongst men. One of our community workers, in fact, is a man, and he's phenomenal. I mean, he's really good. So I think it's all those, there's so many layers. You know, it's about poverty, and it's about illiteracy, and it's about ignorance, and it's about hopelessness. There's so many layers that create problems, these problems. It's not just a one thing. So it's about hope. It's about support. It's about knowledge.
Yeah. Really. Leslie, thank you so very much for joining us for this conversation. Before I let you go, though, your parting words to the listeners?
I would say that in the smallest possible way, whether it's somebody that who's working in your home, or if you're involved in a school, or you work with youth or whatever, to please, please have an ongoing conversation about this, because it's just devastating for that child that's born like that. Because as you say, there is no cure, but it is 100% preventable if people have knowledge. Absolutely.
Leslie, I'm not going to let you go. I know, okay. I said I'm giving you a parting. I know that you gave your parting words to the listeners, but also joining us via Zoom is Dr. Liana Olifir, who is the CEO at the Foundation for Alcohol Related Research. Good morning to you, Doctor. How are you doing?
Hello, Abangeli. Thank you for having me on your program. And hello, Leslie. It's wonderful to hear your voice.
Hi. Lovely to hear your voice too.
Now, Doctor, before we talk about what is fetal alcohol syndrome, please tell us about your organization, that is the FARR, and the preventative educational programs you've run for the last 25 years.
Now, the Foundation for Alcohol-Related Research is firstly a research-based organization. So all the work that we do is based on research and monitoring, evaluation, impact assessment, very important. So we have done this for all the FASD, fetal alcohol spectrum disorders, prevalence studies in South Africa. There's only one that was done by an American group. And then based on these findings, we then start intervention programs in the project area. So those programs then entail the education of professionals in their area, like, for example, the healthcare workers, social workers, educators, etc., and also other NGOs, and then awareness and prevention and capacity development programs with community members, and then also our evidence-based program, the Healthy Mother, Healthy Baby program. So what Leslie is saying about a whole of society approach and creating an enabling environment, that is also core in our projects and involving all the different role players and stakeholders. So we work in the Free State, the Northern Cape, the Eastern Cape and the Western Cape on 12 projects.
And I believe you're the first organization to conduct studies in prenatal alcohol harm in the country.
Yes, and I'm glad you used the word prenatal alcohol harm. Leslie also used the word because the reality in South Africa is that very, very few people, children and adults included, because this is a lifelong condition, will ever have the privilege actually to have a full diagnosis of FASD or not. So more and more programs are focusing on children and people who might have sustained harm pre-birth due to alcohol use by the mother. So our organization did the first research in 1997. That was also when our organization was founded, and then found alarming high rate in South Africa and continue to do the research. To date, we've done 24 prevalence studies already. And as you correctly said in the introduction part, internationally, people are extremely concerned about the high level of FASD, and that's 1.5%. The World Health Organization estimates that our FASD rate in South Africa is at least 6%. But in areas in the Northern Cape, very, very closely from where Leslie and them are working, there are prevalence rates in the high 20s, as high as 28%. So it's 28%, more than a quarter of the community being affected by prenatal alcohol use by their mothers. And if I say prenatal alcohol use, the mother does not need to be an alcoholic to have a child with FASD. Even small amounts of alcohol can cause damage.
There's an SMS that's coming in from one of our listeners. Abs, please ask your guest, what is the difference between FAS and FASD and the different types on the spectrum?
Okay, good question. So FASD, fetal alcohol spectrum disorder, is an umbrella term that we're using for all possible things that can go wrong with the unborn baby if the baby is exposed to alcohol. So quite often people refer to fetal alcohol syndrome as the most a severe form of the FASD spectrum of disorders. But there are other conditions and with very long names, like alcohol-related birth defects, indicating that any organ of the unborn baby can be affected. So a baby might be born with heart defects, eye defects. We see that often. Hearing defects, skeletal defects. Then you get a condition like alcohol-related neurodevelopmental defect, where there are no physical signs, and then but brain damage. Basically, a person with FASD always have brain damage and then learning problems. And there is a lot of emphasis incorrectly placed on the how a person with FASD, what they look like. And We must keep in mind that 78% of roughly of people with FASD don't have any physical signs or symptoms, because the brain damage is the most severe, biggest concern that we have, and that's the biggest damage that is caused.
If you've just joined us in conversation, you're not lost. Leslie Osler is one of the founding members of the Huntam Community Education Trust and a director for over 30 years. Also, you are joined by Dr. Leni Willivere, who is the CEO of the Foundation of Alcohol-Related Research, for more on the irreversible conditions that is FAS, as we all look at the far-reaching effects that they can have. Of course, we are talking about fetal alcohol syndrome. 0214460567. Perhaps you can also be part of the conversation on 0725671567. That's the WhatsApp line. Do you have any experience around fetal alcohol syndrome? Do you have anything to share? Perhaps something that we should be aware of? Feel free to join the conversation at any given time. I will put this conversation out maybe for you, Leslie, because I do have a question specifically for Dr. Willivere. It says that chances are then that there could be a misdiagnosis here. We talk of many children in our communities that are sometimes perceived to be naughty, but there could be a chance that it could be FAS.
You mean, are you asking me the question?
Yeah, I'm asking you the question. In terms of misdiagnosis on children that...
I think there are various, if a child has attention deficit disorder, it would be because the child might then be deemed naughty, or the child is really not understanding what is being said, and that's what we pick up. So children are tested so that you are able to see whether they can cope within the school environment, okay? And you would very, very quickly find out that they can't, and they will then be naughty because they are either completely lost or feeling insecure or anxious. And in very big classes where, especially so in rural areas or even in township areas where there are huge classes and the teacher just does not have the time to think about what to do, and this child is then put in the corner because the child is disruptive. So, yes, it could be. It's not really a misdiagnosis. It's more a case of almost putting the problem aside in a way, because the facility to say, well, let's place this child in another class where this child can then learn as he or she is able to, and that unfortunately doesn't exist very much, especially not in the poorer communities.
And doctor, to you then, tell us more about your Healthy Mother, Healthy Baby program.
Our Healthy Mother Baby program focused on a pregnant woman. Now, ideally, one should get the woman involved much earlier, women of childbearing age, like Leslie and them are doing. I just want to mention something that Leslie didn't say, and I don't want the listeners to miss that they've been operational with the Huntam Community Trust for years in the area, and working with the community already for a very, very long time. So to change behavior and to bring about change is not something that happens overnight. Leslie mentioned that they're working with the Mamas Alliance for 4 years now. But Leslie, I think you will agree that you've done the groundwork and had huge successes before then already. So with our Healthy Mother, Healthy Baby program, we look at we're trying to bring down the number of babies in a community born with FASD. But we also look at issues like nutrition, the nutritional status of the mothers, because as Leslie mentioned, that is also very important. The family structure and the involvement of the father of the child, other support people, and then also things like substances of abuse, of course, alcohol included, and then gender-based violence and any other problems that the mom is experiencing. So our program is not only focused at women who are using alcohol. But then it's a very structured program where our community workers then engage with the moms in specific sessions. It's either individual sessions or group therapy sessions, and then home visits, and help them with whatever specific problem they experiencing. Of course, on intake and on enrollment, we do a specific test and analysis with the woman to just assess what the problems are, working very closely with the Department of Health as well. And then once the babies are born, we do a home visit as well, support visits. And then part of our monitoring and evaluation is and impact assessment is when the babies are 9 months old. We, our medical specialists and our psychologists, examine the babies again and then do a full diagnosis, pediatric diagnosis, and also look for FASD. And the beauty of this program is it really has a wonderful impact. And women are bringing their friends and family members to the program. And also we're getting more and more men involved. Mm. Because as Leslie correctly said, if you do not involve the family members and the fathers, the men as well, the women are, again, standing alone and carrying all the blame for, you know, doing possible harm to their children. And in our research, we also found that women do not drink alone. They drink with families, mm-hmm. with friends, and quite often under pressure of the father of the child.
Hmm. I do want to, I have two SMSs that I think they're going to bring. They're asking very important questions. I do have to go to the news though, so I don't want you to go away, ladies. I'm going to put you on pause very quickly. Then we go to the news, and then after that, we get back into this conversation. Please don't go away. It is 29 minutes before we get to 12 o'clock. Welcome back. My name is Wabungile Ganzelenzele, standing in for Lester Kivett on the Morning Review. We are in conversation with Leslie Osler, one of the founding members of the Huntem Community Education Trust and a director for over 30 years. Also, you are joined by Dr. Leanne Olifir, who is the CEO of the Foundation of Alcohol-Related Research, for more on the irreversible condition that is FAS. Welcome back again, Leslie. Welcome back, Doctor. We are continuing with our conversation, and I have two questions from the SMS line. The first question, and I'll open it to anyone who can take it. Can you detect FAS in the womb, or is it only after birth? What looks like fetal alcohol syndrome? What does it look like?
Leslie, can I give a go?
Yes, please. You must do this one.
Unfortunately, it cannot be detected in the womb. One of the signs and symptoms of a baby born with FASD, fetal alcohol spectrum disorder, is that the babies are mostly small for date babies, meaning that if you've got a full-term pregnancy, a 38 to 40-week pregnancy, the baby is supposed to weigh at least 2.5 kilos. So babies with FASD quite often weigh less than that. So of course, you will see in the womb, if your ultrasound is done, that the baby is smaller than what is expected. But there are many other conditions. One of them, for example, being smoking or high blood pressure during hypertension during pregnancy, that can also cause babies to grow slower. So one cannot detect it in the womb, and it's only after birth that you can see it, and it's extremely difficult condition to diagnose properly. So there are a lot of misdiagnoses also being made because you need a medical examination, psychological testing, and in-depth interview with the mum. So ideally, children around about the age of 3, that is, and older, are the best age to start looking at this. But there are other signs and symptoms which mums will see in the behavior of a child that is born with FASD sooner. Like, for example, problems with sleeping, feeding, those type of things. And listeners, please don't think if your baby can't sleep or has a problem with eating that they necessarily have FASD, but those are just some of the things. And also not reaching their milestones, the developmental milestones like other babies.
The second question is there any special training that educators can get to learn to deal with children suffering from FAS?
Shall I take this one, Leanne?
Fine, go ahead.
Just to share this one, I think probably the most important thing is, I mean, teachers can get some training, but the reality is that on an everyday basis, when you have children in a classroom that they aren't coping in a formal schooling, that we need far, far more special needs classes, which are very much designed to help children develop practical skills. And many of them can, because we've certainly shown it over all these years. And to provide them with the confidence and the self-esteem and everything else that goes with it. But in every single school, there have to be sufficient teachers who are then specifically trained to educate children who have these problems. But it's not going to happen in a normal class. It's just not feasible. It's not practical.
Perhaps if I might come in here. The reality in our country is that the Department of Education is following an inclusive education policy.
Mm.
Mm. And according to this policy, educators should get support in managing learners with special needs in their classrooms. Now, we all know that that is not happening. But now it boils down to the point where educators are sitting with learners in their classrooms, which they think might have FASD. And if they know the home circumstances of a learner, for example, they know there's alcohol use in the household, and this is, and I'm putting this in inverted commas, please, a naughty learner who doesn't pay attention, quickly learners get stigmatized and labeled as having FASD. And quite often that is not the case, or it might be the case. But we were asked by the Department of Education in 2018 to, in the Western Cape specifically, to train all their psychologists and support, special needs support people. And we've done that. We've trained in courses specifically developed for them, close to 200 people. We do have courses at the Foundation for Alcohol-Related Research at our training academy for ECD groups, educators, a primary school and secondary. And it's different courses because children, learners present with challenges and learning, barriers at different ages. So if people are interested, they're very welcome to contact me afterwards and I can share some of the information with them. But what I want to support, Leslie, is it would have been wonderful if we had the old system of special classes to support learners with special needs, not only children with FASD.
Mm. Mm.
One last SMS that just came in now. It says, thanks for an excellent conversation on FAS. Please, can the participants comment about the role of the alcohol industry in this conversation and what they do to mitigate the effect of their products, especially with regards to the fact that the industry is currently targeting the black female market to expand their product sales? It's an open question to each of you.
Sure, I'm going to leave that to Leanne. Yes, please.
Of course, the alcohol industry doesn't like the research data that we publish. And that was now, part of the history because amazingly enough, I'm sure there are many listeners who are hearing about FASD for the very first time today. There are still people in our country who don't know about FASD and the possible harm that can be caused when a mom drinks alcohol during pregnancy. Leslie referred to that as the ignorance and so forth. So in the liquor industry, there was also, people didn't want to hear about this. People didn't want to acknowledge that their products are causing harm, but we have moved on from the on. So the liquor industry is using terms like sensible drinking, harm reduction, alcohol harm reduction, and things like that. And they're doing that in their marketing campaigns as well. I think if we just listen, I think back about to a couple, uh, quite a you know, a couple of years ago. The advertising that were very much focused at women and even young people. The young people has moved on because the alcohol industry is now more and more saying underage people shouldn't drink. The advertising is still a problem. And also the way that the advertisements are, you know, projected, especially on TV, it's very inspirational and sexy and whatever. So it's speaking to the users. But over the years, the alcohol industry became more and more aware of the harmful effects of alcohol, especially FASD and young people and drinking and driving. So they're putting more and more money into awareness campaigns to make people aware as to stay in line with the alcohol legislation in South Africa.
Thank you so very much for the conversation. Leslie, I will bring you back to our producers. Yeah. That is Waleed. Doctor, from your side, your parting words to the listeners.
I just want to say again, thank you for the opportunity to participate. And like I always say, now that you know about FASD, please start spreading the message. And in your circle of friends and family, pleading with you, please be the brave person. If there's somebody pregnant in your circle of friends or family, be the person who is attending a party with the pregnant woman and saying, I will be your buddy for tonight, not to drink alcohol during this party or so, because quite often it's very difficult for people not to drink alcohol at all these functions and so. And make people aware of this, but without blaming. Rather, be the buddy and the support person, because that is what women need in our country.
Thank you so much for that. Dr. Olivier, CEO of the Foundation of Alcohol-Related Research. For more,